Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about nannying for two under two, which is a very special thing, and it has its own set of joy and obstacles. And to do that, to talk about that, I've brought back Sarah George. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Martha.
It's so nice to have you back.
It is so nice to be back. Thank you.
Sarah and I were kind of talking before we recorded that this is an episode that I don't necessarily have a ton of experience in, but Sarah does, and I'm excited to learn more about it. I'm sure such a special thing.
Yes.
But before we talk about two under two, let's hear a little bit, a refresher about your background, Sarah. How'd you come to nannying?
I came to nannying kind of like a lot of nannies do. I knew I always wanted to work with children in some capacity, so I kind of explored a few avenues of that. And nannying kind of fell in my lap, and I realized that this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to work with children in their home, individually, with a set of parents. And I was with my first full-time family in 2015-14. And then I joined with an agency and temped with them for a year and learned a ton.
Yep.
And then with my current full-time family, I started January of 2016 with just a two and a half month old. And didn't know 16 months later, there would be a new baby.
Uh-huh.
So that is kind of why I'm here.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, and that's... adding a new kiddo is a lot. And yeah, we kind of touched on that subject a little bit with the sibling rivalries episode.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are in a position that you know another one's on the way, that's another good episode to go listen to besides mm-hmm. this one. But yes. Adding another kid is always an interesting thing, especially when the first child is so young, because you can't necessarily, like, talk to them mm-hmm. about it.
Yeah. And if you're like me, you're going to be looking for all the help you can get.
Yeah. So, wonderful. Well, let's get right into it. So, when you have two under two, what are some of the things that have come up that you didn't necessarily like see coming or expect with that?
I think it starts before number two is even born. So you have barely 1 year old. I'm keep trying to think of months and dates.
Right.
And then you have to prep them and prep for what life will be like. So with that, it starts with encouraging even more independent play. How is this child who's been getting your undivided attention from her nanny and her parents to, we have to figure out what you're going to do when a baby needs to be fed and changed and put down for nap.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've worked with siblings, many, many sibling sets and more than three, but I had never brought another baby into a situation and went from one to two. And it just seemed like I'm going to have two little quote unquote babies. I don't know what I'm doing. Right. And I would ask lots of nannies I knew, like, what did you do when they were little? She's like, you're just going to figure it out. there's only so much I can say in this podcast, but a lot of it, you're going to just kind of have to figure it out with your own children and family set up.
Right. There are when they are so little, it's like every month makes a difference. So
yes,
if they, you know, are 14 months apart versus 16 months apart, that's a huge difference. And so just keeping that in mind of, like, we're going to be speaking about this in somewhat general and then also in specific terms. And so, yeah, your situation probably will be different. And so apply what you learn here, but also you're gonna figure it out as you go.
Yeah. I'm speaking from experience with an 18-month gap.
Okay,
Of kids, if that might be helpful.
Yes. That I'm sure that is helpful. Because my experience with two under two has been with twins. And so, and that's, you know, we have an episode about twins, but that's a different thing because they are the exact same age. And so, you know, their schedules are pretty much the same and all that good stuff. So an 18-month gap is slightly different.
Yeah. It's like they're just, you know, they're getting to a point of independence independence. And then their whole life kind of gets changed over a little bit.
Yeah, it does. It does. So, I think maybe starting with like those scheduling things, is a good place to start of like, how do you handle it when, the older one, you know, is transitioning out of two naps a day into one nap a day, and the little one is still obviously napping a lot.
Yeah, my oldest was done with two nap way before sister ever came along.
Oh, okay.
My kids don't like to sleep. She's not wanting to take a nap now. She turned two weeks ago. Okay. Like, she's wanting to just nap altogether.
Oh
yeah.
Gosh. And you're like, yeah, no, it's but not, it's so okay. Important for your brain.
I know.
But yeah, then definitely, like, if she was down to one nap when the little one came along, how do you handle that the little one, you know, needs more sleep?
Yeah, so during maternity leave, because I guess it kind of falls into place when hopefully mom is home.
Right.
And your role definitely changes during that period than it is when you are full-time with both children.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of during that, my role was less time with the newborn. Typically the newborn was always with mom. But for that period of time, I would get to work. I would get the oldest out of her crib and then care for her, feed her breakfast, and then we would get out of the house.
Yeah.
To let mom rest as much as she could throughout the day with the baby. And as maternity leave comes to a close, I really strongly recommend letting there be periods of time where it is just you and both children and mom leaves you with a bottle if she is breastfeeding. And she goes out and does things outside of the home. So
you get an opportunity to practice.
So not only do you get an opportunity to practice, so does the oldest, because her life wasn't that disrupted after mom and baby came home. It's like she knew that mom, she always knew her mom was in the house, no matter if she didn't see her mom until lunchtime. She could just tell. Mm-hmm. But she's like, well, my nanny's with me all the time. So it isn't really until it's you're holding the baby and you can't be
with the older child. Yeah.
Yeah, the way that you were. You can't get down on the floor and play as easily or at a moment's notice constantly. So when I did go full time with both of them, the biggest kind of struggle is for a while the newborn will sleep kind of in a room, you know. I mean, right. they'll sleep while you're holding them, they'll sleep in a wrap, they'll sleep in a swing or something like that for very short periods of time when you're in the room. But then very quickly they get a nap schedule down. Typically it's three naps, I think we're still doing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, my biggest thing was, what do I do with the oldest while I have to be upstairs rocking a baby to sleep? Mm-hmm. And what we ended up doing was that was going to be the screen time that was allotted.
Yeah.
So she would be in a pack or a pack and play kind of setup and downstairs, and I would let her know what I was doing. I'm like, I'm gonna go put sister down for nap and try to put her down to sleep as quickly as possible. Luckily she would go down quickly, but that's what we ended up doing. My goal was to always try to have their middle naps at the same time. If you can get them to take at least one nap together,
that's ideal.
Exactly. Yeah. That's ideal. And make yourself stop and eat, mm-hmm. and go to the bathroom and take care of yourself for, even if it's like a 20-minute crossover period of them both sleeping at the same time, don't do anything else except take care of yourself.
Yeah. Don't be tempted to like clean those bottles or whatever. Yes. Yeah. Use that time for you.
They will still be there.
Yes. Those bottles are not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely great advice of like, yeah, when there is that tiny bit of time, mm-hmm. where you don't have a child immediately tugging at you to take that time and eat, use the bathroom, like drink some water.
Mm-hmm. Take advantage of the time where you're not holding a baby.
Yeah, when you have both arms free, because it doesn't happen often.
And the schedules for that period, like it's just constantly changing. With when babies are that small, just feedings are getting changed, the time they go to sleep, the time they wake up, how many times they wake up in the middle of the night, it all has such a huge impact. I don't use a information log a ton at this moment in my job because I do text the mom pretty frequently all throughout the day. But something that was necessary for me at the beginning when I was with both the girls full time was that I had to keep a notebook of feedings, mm-hmm. And things for her. And also an app that is really great. I know that a lot of nannies with newborns, they like to use apps, or even when they're not newborns, they use it to keep in touch with the parents and pictures and feedings. And the app that I really enjoyed using was the baby feeding timer. It was simple and it helped you keep track of how long naps were, how long feeding times were. And that was extremely helpful, definitely for the first few months.
Yeah, and in the infants episodes, we have two with Brittany Vogel. She talks about keeping that log being really important to mm-hmm. like learning the baby's mm-hmm. schedule. And so mm-hmm. I do think an app like that is super helpful because then it's all in there and you can then mm-hmm. look back at it and be like, okay, you know, we're eating about this time every day.
Yes.
We're going down for a nap about this time every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, from being able to find that pattern without you having to remember exactly.
Yeah,
because
sometimes in the moment it's hard to really analyze everything.
Yes.
And look at the whole picture. So definitely having it written down is really great.
Yeah, and that app sounds great for that. Yeah, and so when let's now go kind of more chronological of like when you are preparing for baby number two to come and you have a kid that is, you know, under 2 years.
Teach them not only how to independently play with themselves, that I definitely had to be really attentive about practicing that with her. Like, I'm going to sit in this chair and, for lack of a better way to say it, not play with you, because this is how it's going to be. Like, I'm going to have to sit here and I can talk to you. I can sing to you, but I can't play with you, and I can't play with you the same way as I have been.
Right.
And
I'm
then
not gonna be able to like drop everything and be on the ground.
Yeah, I can't sit there and draw a picture with you and feed your sister at the same time.
Right.
If only.
So you've got to learn to draw the picture by yourself.
Yeah. And it's hard, because if you've been with that child since they were babies, it's kind of like, oh, I'm ignoring you. I'm not doing everything that I can, but it's all for the greater good.
Yeah, and you aren't, you know, like, you're still engaged, and you, because you're doing it specifically for this purpose of, like, these are skills that you need to learn, and the way that we learn skills is to practice them. And so, you know, we've gotta do some periods of time where we practice this so that our independent play muscles can get bigger. Is, you know, it's totally the right thing to do, and it's not because you're lazy. In fact, you're planning and protecting that time really well.
I've definitely had like nanny guilt when it comes to the first one, like, oh, I'm sorry, you're so not neglected. I shouldn't say that word.
Yeah, not it, and because you're not neglecting the child, and learning independence is such an important skill.
Yeah, it's helping them thrive.
Yes, exactly.
Something else that I really tried to do with her was having her going up and down the stairs herself, or just with one, holding one hand, because you won't be able to pick them up.
Right.
I mean, unless you want to do two trips every time, which
but
sounds like
that,
a lot of work.
And that also presents its own, you know, set of problems.
Yeah,
of then,
exactly.
It's like that math problem with the boat of, like, you can only take one, and then the fox is on the thing, and the fox
yes.
will eat the mouse. It's like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of thinking like that with two, actually. It's like, how do you get two small children in a car?
Yeah. Safely without.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. No, that's very tricky.
Her parents got her a baby doll, like a realistic baby doll, one that was not like soft or made out of cloth. And that was kind of treated differently than like another stuffed toy. That this is what a baby will look like. This is a bottle. This is how you feed the baby. This is how you hold the baby, change a diaper. She was very fascinated with diapers.
Yeah.
So we did that. And my mom actually got her a wonderful book called Big Sister Now. And I wrote down the title and not the author's name, but I will give that to Martha.
Yeah, give it. She'll give it to me, or I can look it up, and it will be on the Chronicles of Nania Facebook page. So check there.
Yeah. So that's a great one, but there are lots of books we checked out from the library. There are so many books about bringing new siblings in to the home, and even at such young age, I really think it did help.
Yeah.
It really helped to see parents holding a child that was not her, that they were busy. If you do look at the book that I am describing, it's just like the house is messy. The parents are disheveled and tired. It's
true to
life.
It's
real life.
Yeah.
So that's a great one. Just talk about it. when, and I'll talk about it in a little bit, going to a baby store to look at new car seats, my kiddo actually saw her old car seat, crawled into it. Because they will, when they're so young, they kind of remember that they used these things. They used this pumpkin seat. They used Sirtet bibs and clothes and blankets.
Yeah.
Or even a crib, but yeah, we had two cribs.
Yeah. So yeah, anything that you can do. And then also, I think talking about like how important her job is as a big sister, mm-hmm. or his job is as a big brother, is, you know, saying like, I'm going to need you to help mm-hmm. with things, like, and giving them, letting them practice, you know, like with the diaper changes, of being like, mm-hmm. can you hand me this? Even if you could reach it, saying mm-hmm. to them, like, and getting them stools and things that they can stand on so that they can be up on more on your level mm-hmm. of helping.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of changes your view. You're just like, oh, let's start doing all these, like, more focusing on being independent, like putting on your own shoes and your jacket, which you should kind of be doing anyway. But I know for me, it was like, you're an only child. Why would I not do this for you? I think it was the preschool episode that the classroom that she taught in was the same age as my kiddo. It was like that they could put their own shoes on. I'm like, oh, I don't have her put on her own shoes, but I could and should.
Yeah. And it is, it's important to allow them that and to believe in them mm-hmm. that they can do it. And if they are struggling with something, cause you know, every kid, comes to developmental milestones slightly differently. So if they are struggling, if you are like, let's, you know, have you practice putting on your shoes, of being patient with them too, of like, okay, great. Like, you got your foot into it today. That's awesome. Like,
yes.
Celebrating even tiny little victories.
Yeah. And then maybe you try to refer the, yeah, keep referring to them as that you're going to be a big sister, and, maybe big sisters don't take their pacifiers out of their room, and they don't do certain things because pacifiers are going to be downstairs for the new baby, right. And you don't want to get that mixed up. You know, it sometimes that will happen.
Yeah. But yes, encouraging them that, like, now, you know, you're going to be the big sister or big brother. Mm-hmm. And, like, this is, you know, you've got to show your younger sibling how to do X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's set a really good example.
Yeah.
So then maternity leave. Let's talk about that. And we did a little bit of, like, you were mostly with the older child and the mom was with the younger, but making sure to build in those times where you're like,
mm-hmm.
hey, mom, like, why don't you go rest and I will take both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go nap. Try to let your mom boss nap. It's rough.
Once they get towards like maternity leave, being like, why don't you go, you know, get your nails done or mm-hmm. whatever will make you feel.
Yeah. That's definitely a good option. I think that's what she actually did as her first, like, outing out. Go get your nails done. Go get a haircut. Get a little mom self-care while I figure out life with these two kiddos.
Right.
Maternity leave is going to look different for every nanny and every family. My family that I work for has no family in state. So for about 2 weeks, there was family visiting. Mm-hmm. I still worked because their extended family is lovely and capable, this is a small child who's used to being around her parents and her nanny as the main adults in her life.
Right.
So your hours will probably be less on maternity leave, or at least for me, they seem to be more normal. They seem, which typically isn't the way my schedule works.
Right.
See the long hour episode?
Yeah, which was a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Listen to that one. But yes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they might be shortened hours for that period of time, or yeah, you're told, like, you can go home. Because you also are adjusting, so take that time and do some self-care for yourself.
Yeah, and obviously talk about, like, what maternity leave will look like for you pay-wise. Are you getting paid your normal hours and things like that? Nothing changed as far as that for me. But I have heard of families saying they can't pay their nanny's maternity leave, which definitely puts the nanny in a real bind.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So figuring out, asking that question up front and figuring out, like, hey, how is that going to work? Once they tell you that they're going to have another.
I have known nannies that was kind of the case for them, but, like, the mom boss had a friend that had surgery, or there was some situation where they went and worked for somebody else during the maternity leave and was still able to make the same money or something, which is a great situation, but probably pretty rare.
Right. That's lucky.
Yeah. Unless, like, family is going to be there for an extended period of time. With such a young child already in the home, you're going to probably need to be there just as much, if not more.
Yes, for sure. And every family's financial situation is also different. But having you still come is important for everyone's sanity, I would think.
It keeps the routine for the older one, which, if it's possible for the families to keep that, it's definitely makes the transition for them easier.
Yeah. Keeping those extra set of hands around is also great and important. And talking, communication is the theme of this podcast, talking with the mom of, like, how can I be most useful to you? Do you want, I can be with the older child and, like, keeping her routine, but while she's napping, like, what are ways that I can make your life easier to do while you're on maternity leave? Because you're just not getting much sleep and push the baby out of your body. Like, let me do some stuff. Let me sweep. Yeah. Let me do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Your job kind of can change, but maybe with those household duties, because if the mom's had a C-section, I don't even think you're allowed to pick up a gallon of milk.
Yeah.
Or things like that.
Yeah. So keeping that in mind with the older child too, of you can't, like, the mom might not be able to pick up the older child. So giving that older kid some extra, like, love and care is great.
And try to be very flexible with what you were kind of told was going to happen, because sometimes those things are out of their control. Maybe they didn't know they were going to have a C-section and not be able to be up and about as much as they thought. Maybe they are just so exhausted because babies are up all throughout the night. Maybe they kind of think, I think part of them wants to, like, oh, I have all this time off work. I'm going to spend all this time with both of my kids. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get to do all these things. And then they're exhausted. And then just, like, try to be open if it doesn't look exactly like you guys talked about. If it's a place that you're working way more, then don't be taken advantage of, obviously.
Right. Yes.
But set try to be really flexible during this time.
Yeah. And there's also, this is the first time that they're, introducing a baby to a sibling too. So yeah, keeping that in mind that they're learning, you're learning, the kids are learning, like, everyone's adjusting to a huge life change. Of another life being in the house, and what that looks like. So, yeah, offering that support is super important within reason. I also, I love that you added on, don't be taken advantage of. Like, know your worth. Keep your boundaries. But, yeah, if they were like, oh, we're only going to need you 4 hours every day, and then they end up needing you more, as best you can accommodating that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then, like, I think I may have ended up doing extra things. And then when it was kind of understood, though, when I was the only adult there, that probably wasn't going to be happening.
Right. Yes.
Just for, like, sake of ability.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to be able to do more as the nanny on when the mom is on maternity mm-hmm. leave than you will
yeah.
when you're there by yourself.
Yes.
And they, of all people, should understand that.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, you probably can get more done with me here than when it's just you guys.
Yeah, for sure. So then, yeah, transitioning out of that maternity leave and practicing before it happens, like, asking for those times that it's like, can I have both of the babies while you do some self-care and things like that.
Yeah, try to get out and do things with the mom and baby, and just like everybody go to the zoo. Everybody take a trip to the zoo. And just, you know, sure. it gets everybody used to doing things all together. And, you know, the mom gets to enjoy both her children. And take pictures of them, please, if they're out. Take that opportunity to take. I mean, don't be creepy about it. Like, let her know you're doing it.
But, right.
Take pictures of her and her two small children just out doing things and having fun, because that's the smallest they're going to be.
Yeah. And I've read, like, there's a couple different, articles or opinion pieces of, like, mm-hmm. moms being, like, nobody ever takes pictures of me. Like, I'm in charge of taking all of the pictures, and so I'm not in any of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. offering, being the person that can, like, kind of archive their...
Yeah.
Their family time out of that maternity leave is... That's a really great thought that I probably mm-hmm. wouldn't have thought of.
When we went to the hospital to see the baby, I held the video camera when the dad took the oldest in. It's the sweetest video of the moment she saw the baby. She started naming the baby's facial features, like eye and ear and nose, and that she had a hat on. It's adorable. Yeah.
That's so cute.
Nanny / photographer.
So then mom goes back to work.
Yep.
It's you and two under two.
Yes.
How do you handle it?
Well, a lot of it goes back to, like, the scheduling and keeping track of feedings, and be prepared to spend a few weeks at home with both, because maybe mom and dad aren't comfortable with you taking both out right away.
Yeah.
Or even they, like, to be fine with going out, but not to the extent that you had been with just the oldest, going out every single day and kind of just doing your own thing.
Yeah, so now it's maybe like a once-a-week outing or, like, twice a week.
Yeah, like, or, you know, maybe we do gym
special
three.
Special events.
Yeah. And that's kind of when it can get hard for the oldest that, wait, what do you mean we're not going anywhere? What do you mean you have to be doing whatever you're doing with that rolled-up rag thing over there?
Right. And also, like we talked about in the independent play episode, of, like, during that prep time of before the baby's born and or during maternity leave, start making, like, some different craft boxes or, like, mm-hmm. things that the older child can, like, pull off a shelf and everything they need is right there. For, like, a Play-Doh box or a, you know, an art, like, a drawing box or things like that.
Yeah, because I think that was the period of time which my oldest started actually using crayons and drawing. That was a huge thing for us because she hadn't really done that. Pinterest. Just type in, like, the exact month age they are, activities, and just go from that. A lot of, like, manipulatives, the little pom-pom, the fluffy pom-poms are a big hit with us.
Water
popsicle
play.
Sticks. Yeah. We don't do as enough messy play.
Right,
We need to, and now it's getting cold out. But, Yeah, just a lot of that. Blocks were really good.
Mm-hmm.
Give her, again, always have lots of books available for them to look through on their level.
Yes.
And that's when the baby doll comes into play, because that was a great thing when I was feeding the baby. Like, oh, can you go get your baby doll and give her a bottle? Or can you change your baby doll's diaper?
Yeah, so that they can be doing it with their...
Yeah, that was really helpful.
That is. That's such a good idea to have a baby doll that's, like, a more special, mm-hmm. like, lifelike baby doll.
Yeah. I know there are a few brands that we use... Or out there, you don't have to get a $100 baby doll by any expense. I know they exist, but you don't need one.
Right. So do you know what brand your kiddos is?
It's French. It's like that French sounding. I could like send it to you.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you because it's that type of baby that smells like baby powder.
Oh.
It's
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Cool. But yeah, no, that's a great idea of like having them kind of parallel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when they're this little, that kind of is what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
They can't actually change baby's diapers at this age. I mean, I know when you have larger age gap that they can do different things.
Right.
But when they're still so little themselves.
Yeah. But yeah, finding little ways for them to help mm-hmm. too is good in age appropriate ways. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
even if it's just, can you hand me this?
Yeah.
Is a good thing.
Along with that is at least, my kiddo realized really quick that when I'm doing certain things, I can't stop her from doing certain things.
Right.
So kids who were previously very, not ones to explore
uh-huh.
are going to learn very quickly that you're busy right now and they can get into some things. That's when we had to start doing a lot more baby gates. And you know, they go to Gymboree and they learn how to climb things. And yeah, so just be prepared for them to kind of be a little more mischievous, exploring their homes a little bit more now that you're not able to be right beside them every single moment.
Yeah, and pushing those boundaries.
Yeah, pushing boundaries. Thank you.
Where they are. They're like, wait a second. I used to have her attention all the time and now I don't. I wonder
what I can do to get that attention.
Yeah.
When you get to the point where you are able to get out of the house, prep. So there's no like such thing as over prepping. For me personally, I wish I could be one of the nannies that just take like a bottle and a diaper and a bag and like walk out the door, but I'm not.
No. And I don't know any nannies like that. So wherever you're hiding, having more than you need because you never know what's going to happen.
We joked because you'd walk in the house because with two kids so close together, you think like, oh, we're going to save all this money because we have like two. No, you have to buy two of everything again. You had to buy two cribs. We had to, you know, another. They ended up buying a different infant seat, double stroller. You would walk in, there would just be strollers and car seats everywhere. Yeah. Like there were twins. They weren't twins, but it sure felt like it. And, you know, bigger diaper bag. And,
But then once they, you know, start transitioning out of things, from my research on this, then, like, you're starting to, like, you're done with diapers in a lot shorter amount of time than if they're, you know, if they're
it's
2 years.
It's just a lot for a short while.
Yeah, but then keeping in mind that everything is a phase and, like, they're going to transition out of it. So having that, like, mindset of, I am going to miss this when it stops.
Yeah.
is very important.
Everything is a season.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
When it did come to going out, something that was really helpful. I drive a pretty small car to work, and I use my car, not the family's car.
Uh-huh.
So, when it comes to car seats, taking your car to, the baby store and trying to put the double strollers in your car to see if they will fit, mm-hmm. and car seats and how that'll all work out. I definitely recommend, especially with small vehicles.
Yes.
Seeing if it'll actually all work, because it's quite a puzzle to make it all work.
That's very important. It's like,
yeah, just the practical.
Try it first.
The logistics of getting two children to locations.
Yeah.
Explore baby wearing if you haven't. It was really helpful in quite a few situations for us. I'm a big fan of my double stroller, don't get me wrong. But if you're at Gymboree and it's nap time for number two, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Try to find nannies that have similar ages to you. I'm lucky enough that my best nanny friend lives very close to us. Our kids are 2 months and 2 weeks apart from each other.
Oh my gosh.
It's so cute. And sometimes it's that she's as equally tired as I am.
Yeah.
And just gets at what it's like to be around two little people all day that can't fully speak.
Right. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And that self-care is extra important. When you've got two really little ones.
Mm-hmm. And before you know it, they'll get old. You know, the baby will be 6 months and your oldest will be two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened to me a few weeks ago.
Aww.
It was very bittersweet. I'm like, how are you already 2 and 6 months old? I don't know how this happened.
I know.
I kind of was really nervous for that period of time, but it really goes by so quickly. It's all true what they say.
Yeah.
You'll make it work.
You will. You can do it. If you're listening to this and you're about to have two under two, you can do it.
You will survive, I promise. You will survive. It's okay to ask for help, but you will survive.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a hard thing, recognizing that and being like, this is a lot. I'm taking care of two people that need me to do a lot for them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, the majority of their needs are being met by me. And that's a lot.
Yeah.
So, good job.
Mm-hmm. And remember that kids are really resilient. And more than likely, they're going to love their little siblings so much. Like, more than they loved having you around 100% of the time.
Yes.
They're going to love laying on the play mat with them and showing them things. They're going to be so excited whenever it's time to get them up for nap. And
yes.
It's so sweet to see their little relationship when they're so young.
Yep. I completely agree. And I don't even have ones that are that close in age. But yeah, watching siblings' relationships develop is just so stinking cute.
Precious.
Well, is there anything else?
I think we got it all.
Awesome. That's super helpful. And yeah, if you are listening, and you're about to do this or you're in the middle of it, or you just have a general question that you don't feel like we addressed fully, please email into chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. And check the Instagram and Facebook, Chronicles of Nania, and Twitter. Although I'm not going to lie, guys, I'm not as good at keeping up with Twitter.
Same.
It's just, I'm more than 140 characters, you know, like, I need more time. I was an English major. but check all those for pictures and resources, or you can go to www.chroniclesofnania.com and we'll have the book listed there and the baby doll brand, and it'll be great. So yeah, check all that out this week. And is there Anything else you can think of, Sarah?
There's the topic of, you know, the second child raise, as they say. But I...
Oh, yeah.
I think that has so much to do with your location and your family situation. I know there are... I know Care.com has a wage calculator, and there are probably other resources for that that would maybe be more tailored to people if they wanted to look up that information.
Yeah, but yes, talk about that before the baby gets there.
Yes, before the baby gets there.
But make sure that everyone has agreed to it. And yeah, don't be taken advantage of. You're caring for an entire new child. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, and using those resources, going in more researched is better than less researched.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, great. We end every episode with a fun, uplifting, thoughtful, cute story. Sarah, do you have one?
I have a short one.
Awesome. Perfect. Short is great.
It kind of goes back to the help. I'm pretty sure that's where I got it from. The you are kind, you are smart. Little mantra. And I would always tell my oldest when I was getting her dressed in the morning that you are kind, you are intelligent, and you are brave. And the first time you start saying it and they say, I am kind back to you. Is precious. So they are always listening. Just a little reminder that you can instill these values in them so young.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That gave me goosebumps.
I know.
I love that. Speak with kindness to your kids because they are listening and absorbing everything. But yes. That's so beautiful. Yeah. When they start saying it too. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. This is wonderful.
You are so welcome.
And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.